You're listening to FMGRadio.com.
Welcome to the Penelope Cox Show, the educator connector who's improving lives by connecting you to the premier educators teaching digital marketing today. And now, here's your host, Penelope Cox.
Hello, I'm Penelope, and welcome to our show. We're delighted that you're here today. We're talking with a millennial entrepreneur today, and that's the individual that's between the ages of 18 and 34. And the entrepreneur that we are talking with is just recently starting her own business. I support entrepreneurs, and I strongly believe that entrepreneurship is going to play a very significant role in shaping the 21st century. I read a recent stat that 54%, and that seems a bit high, but 54% of the millennials, the people between 18 to 34 years of age, want to start their own business. Then you can look at the other side of the generation divide, the baby boomers, and that's the group that I'm part of. They, too, are starting up their own businesses in record numbers. So because of the impact entrepreneurs are having, I, as the boomer entrepreneur, wanted to go and sit down with the millennial entrepreneur, that individual who 100% embraces the entrepreneurial spirit, and have an open discussion on some of the challenges a person can expect when starting up their own business. Kind of like sharing a taste of reality 101 into what it takes to be an entrepreneur. I went in search of and found Hallie Krangle. And as soon as I met Hallie, I was immediately impressed with her high-spirited and can-do attitude. Hallie is a millennial entrepreneur. She's a recent college graduate with a degree in photo media and is facing the business world for the first time as her own business owner, founder, CEO of Hallie Grace Photography. In this interview, Hallie shares very openly her struggles, time management challenges, and feelings of overwhelm, definitely giving us a taste of reality. The marketing tactics that she is currently using in her business, and we'll talk further about this today, are QR codes, Square, she uses SquareUp for her credit card payments, blogging, Facebook fan page, her website, and Google Analytics. Hallie Krangle, welcome to the show. I'm absolutely delighted to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
When I first met you, and I mentioned this in the opening of our show, that I was very much impressed with your high-spirited determination, that you're determined to be your own boss. And that's part of me, too. And it's your entrepreneurial spirit that I felt so strong. But before we talk about marketing, and this show is about marketing, but before we get to the digital marketing part of it, I want to get your feelings of how you're really feeling now about being your own boss, about not being an employee, about being a business owner, being an entrepreneur, because you're doing what millions of people want to be doing, regardless of what age they might be at. Are you starting to like, oh my God, what am I doing here? Are you starting to have sleepless nights? Are you starting to feel overwhelmed? Do you have a little bit of fear coming in? Or are you feeling the complete opposite? Are you feeling and loving the challenges that you're now starting to kind of embrace?
It's a really funny question, because actually the past week or so, I've been feeling extremely overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. You actually met me at my main income source at Brookside Barkery.
Right.
And for the past 6 months or so, I've really been appreciating starting up my own business and getting my feet under me and learning to walk and take the steps that I need to take mm-hmm. in order to grow my photography business. But lately I've started to realize that, and I'm sure all businesses realize this at some point or another, you kind of have to adapt to new things and change your business in certain ways to make yourself feel happy and willing to do it and be able to still make money and do it in a way that is still profitable and open to the public. So I'm at this point trying to get myself on a different path in my business, but overall, I'm still feeling really good and happy about being able to someday say that I am my own boss.
Good. Don't lose that entrepreneurial spirit. Make me that promise. Do you wish you had been better prepared?
I think I'm as prepared as I could have been. With the world changing every day as it is, and with education kind of being completely different for each individual, however they take it, I think I am where I am, and I don't know if I could have been any more or less prepared.
What do you wish you had been told in school that might have prepared you better?
Once I got in the photography track, I got a lot of professors who were willing to be very open with me and very blunt about what steps I would need to take and how difficult it was going to be. I had one professor who'd always say to us, probably 3 times a week, that you photographers are now a dime a dozen because everything is constantly changing. Photography is getting easier for everybody. That's actually probably what prepared me the most, was understanding that it's going to be very difficult, and I'm going to have to either rise up to the challenge or quit while I'm ahead.
You know, I heard that same comment from my IT guy, and he made that same comment because of the changing technology, the changing equipment, and it's just getting easier and easier for people, and he kind of feels like he's being downsized right out of his own business.
Right.
Yeah, and I hadn't thought about that in terms of the industry that you're in, but that could be very true.
Mm-hmm.
A few more things, because I think they're very central to a person running their own business, time management. I don't know if you yourself have even really thought much about this. I've thought about it because I was faced with it tremendously when I was doing my real estate business. I also think about it as I do my internet business. So time management, and I've read some books on managing time. And is it something that is becoming an issue for you, that you're starting to ask yourself, gosh, how can I better schedule my day more effectively? Has that come up?
That's definitely a huge issue with me.
Okay.
I started off really strongly. I tend to wake up with my boyfriend who has an 8 to 5, well, really it's like an 8 to 6 job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wake up with him at 6:30 in the morning, and I work on my photography stuff until around 9 o'clock when I go to my other work at the Barkery.
Mm-hmm.
I come home from work around 4, and I work for another couple hours before he gets home. And that's been working great, but I'm starting to run into a problem of working too much. I've really thrown myself off balance. So I've really hit this huge problem of not knowing how to relax, which is a big problem, I guess, because I work in my home.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have a space that I'm not thinking about the stuff that I need to get done.
Do you have a specific space in your home that is designated just to the business?
I do, actually. It's a 2-bedroom apartment, mm-hmm. so we were able to convert one of the bedrooms into a studio, and I just plug away in here every day.
Have you ever read the book? My brother turned me on to this several years ago, and I think the book is The Effective Executive. And there was one comment in there that really helped me, and that my brother and I talked about it at length. He actually is international financing out of Wharton, so runs several organizations out of Princeton. And he often talked about, start your day with that activity that is the most income-producing activity.
Hmm.
And complete that first before you move on to your lesser income producing activities. So for us, including me, who first get onto the emails and then all of a sudden an hour has gone by,
right?
That is probably the least income producing activity, unless you have a lot of leads coming in. That's how I structure my day. I look at my day and I look at what are the five top income producing activities, or three, and I start with that number one most income producing activity. And it's usually that activity that's going to take the most of the day to finish as well. Mm-hmm. But that has helped me tremendously. And I completely wipe out minor, insignificant, lesser income producing activities and become more productive.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. I've actually had multiple conversations about how I end up spending my mornings before work mm-hmm. cleaning and doing dishes and not being productive at all mm-hmm. in the sense of my business. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to look at it. I'll have to remember that next time I wake up.
Well, it's a learning process, and it's what so many people go through. And I think it is one of the number one reasons for failures, our inability to really focus on that income producing activity.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about passion. Eventually we'll get to marketing, won't we? I think you're a perfect example of this, but correct me if I'm wrong. People talk about taking their passion and then turning that passion into a product, then turning that product into a business.
Mm-hmm.
But so many people will say, well, I don't have a passion. There's nothing I'm passionate about. But I personally feel that if a person digs deep enough, everyone can find their own passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question to you is, how did you find your passion? Has photography always been your passion? Or did you have to kind of think about what your passion was?
It's funny. I can completely relate to people feeling like they have no passion at all. Mm-hmm. I guess photography really is my passion. And it's not something I consciously recognized until maybe 2 years into college. It's something I'd always done, and I'd spoken to different people about the possibilities of photography as a business, as a career option. But it just seems like everyone I talked to would just tell me that, oh, it's a dumb idea. You're going to be so bored. It's going to be awful, and you're not going to make any money. After major hopping in college for a couple of years, I just realized that if nothing else, photography is something that I really love to do. And I understand that there's so many people who turn their passion into work and they lose their passion out of it. Mm-hmm. But it was just a risk I was willing to take because I didn't really know where else to go. So, and I'm really lucky that I decided just to take that leap, because that is where I found the professors who were most helpful for me. And that's where I found the most answers. And actually, at this point in my business of trying to kind of change the direction of it is due to the fact that I took my passion and I think I turned it into commercial work too quickly and too overwhelmingly. So that I don't really have time to focus on the importances, I think, that come from photography. So it all just goes back to finding that balance and going from there.
What do you mean by changing the direction in your photography?
Well, right now I'm at this point where I've been getting all these random jobs, which I'm more than thankful for. Mm-hmm. Doing weddings or baby portraits or pet portraits or stop motion animation projects. And it's all great. It's great learning experiences. It's a lot of fun. But at the same time, it kind of makes me feel the way that I feel being under a boss, which has never really sat well in my stomach.
I don't know you very well. We just recently met, but yes, I would think that would not sit well at all in your side.
Yeah, so I'm trying to read up on different ways to kind of turn away from the whole service part of photography and turning more towards the fine arts spectrum, which I know is going to be much, much harder to do, but I think with the initial base that I've started to set up and the expectations being very low, I can just take baby steps forward.
Excellent. Hallie, we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, I'm going to ask you to talk to us about the marketing tactics that you are using to generate leads into your business.
Great.
Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the FMG Radio Network, where our motto is have fun, make money, do good. We provide platforms to individuals who have a cause, message, or information that they would like to share with the world. If you'd like to join the FMG family and have your own radio show, please call us at 1-800-470-4982. That's 1-800-470-4982. We look forward to hearing from you.
Ellie, just before we took the break, I was going to ask you about marketing tactics. Are there certain tactics that you're using that are generating the leads into your business?
There are a couple that I think are most effective. One is my blog, which I just set up from Blogspot. So it's HallieGrace.blogspot.com. And the reason I think that generates so much interest is because when I update it, I email it out to people, or my followers will see it and they are instantly hooked into it. It's not stuff they've seen before. So it's new and exciting, and I get a lot of hits that way. The other one is something that I just recently started up, mostly because my dad told me it was a good idea, which was a Facebook fan page.
Yes.
I've slowly been kind of receding away from Facebook over the past few years, but he had mentioned to me that that is one of the best marketing tools for small businesses now.
Why were you moving away from it? Just curious. I agree with your father, so I'm kind of curious as to your thoughts.
I don't know. When I started off with Facebook, I was just getting into school, and it was really fun, and I was meeting a lot of people, so I was making all these Facebook friends, but then after a while it got very overwhelming and very impersonal to me.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've started up this Facebook fan page, I'm kind of remembering the fact that it is a great way to keep in contact with people I still really, truly keep in contact with.
From a business perspective, the fan page is, I'm a strong advocate of it.
Yeah, it seems like it also kind of spreads, because the people who really care about it will spread it on to their Facebook friends and their Facebook friends and on, so it kind of gets that snowball effect in the internet world.
So is that something that you're going to set up? You've just started to set up?
I've just started setting it up in the past week or so.
While we're talking about Facebook, are you using any other social media networks at this point in time?
I've basically just got my blog, Facebook fan page, a website, and just a little shop in Etsy. And that's about it for social media.
How often do you blog? How often do you post?
Oh, ideally I would do it once a week. I think I average about, at this point, once every 3 weeks. And it's something that I start thinking about, and it kind of nags me to continue doing it. So it's nice to think about the fact that I have a proactive way of making myself stronger to the public's eye, just by making myself more pronounced, simply by posting a blog.
Mm-hmm.
And photography is great for it, because people love looking at pictures. Words aren't so important to them. It's a great way to just like catch people's attention. And
what else are you using in terms of marketing? You mentioned your QR codes earlier when you and I were talking. And Square Up. Talk to us about that.
So I was able to set up a QR code very easily. And a QR code is just a two-dimensional barcode that people are able to scan with their smartphones or different smart electronics that are able to have an app to scan them. And it just takes them, whoever scans my QR code, directly to my website. So it kind of takes people in the real world who may see my QR code somewhere, which I plan to post around, and just scan it and be at my webpage, which is a great new way to get interest in this marketing world. I also have just recently become a Square user. Square is a free application that allows me to take credit cards, which is more helpful when I am able to get jobs that are more focused around the fine art of photography. And that is just a free app. They send you a completely free card reader that you can just plug into your smartphone or your iPod or your iPad, and it reads credit cards for you and it sends it to an account. It's free, no monthly charge. It takes 3% out of the final amount paid, but that's something that you can add to your price or just lose a few cents there. So,
are there other tactics you're thinking about expanding into?
Not especially. I think I'm going to have to start focusing more on the good old-fashioned way of going into stores or going into coffee shops or going into art locations and showing them my portfolio and seeing if they will show my photographs or let me hang some on the walls, which I think will be a lot more difficult and a lot more trying. Yeah.
But it is important to integrate both offline and online. Is that what you're finding?
Oh, definitely. There are definitely still people who really prefer the old-fashioned way, quote unquote, of doing something. And it's important to be adaptable in both directions.
Where are you getting your most qualified leads at this point? Do you have a sense yet in terms of where most of your leads are coming from? Well, I said qualified leads. There's a difference between leads and qualified leads, but
I actually feel like I'm getting most of my leads from the old way of just word of mouth. I've gotten a lot of job opportunities through my work at Brookside Barkery, whether it be from Brookside Barkery or from different employees who need pictures done. I've done a couple different weddings, and those were generated by word of mouth. And I know that I'm getting a lot of hits from my websites and my pages, but probably the most supportive people right there right now are my family, which I'm very thankful for and very appreciative and very lucky. And probably the word of mouth way will kind of fall more and more back into oblivion.
Now, you had mentioned earlier, I think, that you were using Google Analytics. Are you still using that?
Yeah, that's actually a really great way for me to stay on track of posting on my blog, because I've noticed a trend of when I do post on my blog and I do post it on Facebook, my page hits go way up and then they just slowly go farther and farther and farther down until I have nobody. So it is definitely a whole nother maintenance issue of staying on top of that. It's really helped me stay on track and keep on top of my stuff and keep me motivated.
So what are the biggest challenges in terms of learning internet marketing? I know as a business owner, you've got many facets of the business to delve into. But from my perspective, marketing, be it online or offline, traditional, is where the leads and as a result the business is going to come from. What are your biggest challenges in learning this stuff? Are you kind of wishing that you could outsource it? Are there challenges in terms of just simply learning how to do it?
There are a few. I feel like I'm a lot luckier than a lot of people, just because I do have so many older siblings who are doing so many different things. I have a sister who has helped me so much in setting up my online marketing through Google Analytics and through preaching the importance of having a blog. And like I said before, my dad kind of cueing me in on the importance of a Facebook fan page. So I know I'm extremely lucky in that sense, but I do still feel like it's a very overwhelming thing.
Mm-hmm. And when you say overwhelm in terms of the business overall, you've got finance and you've got accounting and you've got equipment, or overall in terms of internet marketing, in terms of marketing, what do you mean by overwhelm? I mean, I fully relate to what you're saying, but what do you mean when you say overwhelm?
Well, now that you mentioned both aspects, they're both just like looming over my head right now. I was speaking more about the online marketing just because I always want to say to myself that, oh, I don't have time to do this. This mm-hmm. is stupid. Nobody ever looks. And why does it even matter? But the truth is that it helps a lot. It helps me get past my family mm-hmm. and into kind of the more unknown customers of the internet. And it takes time. And one of my professors had mentioned at one point that once we get into our businesses, that we were going to have to really make a point of setting aside one day of the week to work on something. He was talking about like organizing all our photos and keeping everything up to date, but I take that to heart with keeping all of my online pages up to date. It really is something that you just have to kind of put into your weekly schedule, and once it's in there, it's just another thing to cross off the to-do list. But it is definitely very overwhelming at first, but I mean, what isn't?
I think we have to stop at that point. I think that's an excellent point that you make, is that you need to schedule it within your week. And if it's mm-hmm. scheduling a specific day of the week, or if it's scheduling three specific days of the week, that's where the sales, from my perspective, traditional or non-traditional, online or offline, that's where the sales of the business are going to be generated from. So mm-hmm. it's a matter of finding either outsourcing or yourself. Someone is going to go out and be your sales force. Now, who is going to do that, and when are they going to do it? And it is just another aspect of your business, and scheduling it appropriately so it is done religiously and consistently.
Right.
You've got good mentors that are guiding you, and you're fortunate to have that big family.
I thank my family for it every day.
Hallie, thank you so, so much. You've been an absolute delight. Thank you for being our guest today. And I appreciate your forthright, your honesty, and sharing with us your thoughts and your challenges as you grow your business. And I want to stay connected because I know that you're going to be very, very successful. And for our audience, if you want to connect further with Hallie Krangle, and that's Hallie, H-A-L-L-Y. For more information, you can go to her official site, which is HallieGracePhotography.com. Excellent. And Grace is your middle name, in case anyone's asking.
Yep.
Your last name is Hallie Krangle. Hallie, thanks. Thank you so, so much. I appreciate you joining us.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And you absolutely want to join me this same time next week when our guest will be the NFL. That's right, the National Football League. My philosophy is, if you want to be good at what you do, then learn from the best. So who better to learn from than the brand that's absolutely kicking it in their industry? I'm talking the NFL. They're a multi-billion-dollar brand, and I ask myself, why? Why are they dominating their industry? What are they doing? Is it the structure of the game? Is it the marketing behind the league? And what can we, the small business owner, take away from this brand and apply to our own businesses? So to answer these questions, we've invited into the studio next week the VP of Media and Marketing for the Kansas City Chiefs, Rob Alberino. Be sure to join me this same time next week. The Penelope Cox Show airs every Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on fmgradio.com. Thanks for stopping by. Remember, invest in your education. Learn from the best.
You've been listening to The Penelope Cox Show, The Educator Connector. All showtimes, guest files, and interviews are archived on Penelope's official site at penelopecoxshow.com.